everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. It is Thursday, July 28th, 2022. And Tom, the warnings, the flash flood warnings came early today.
Well, when you look around, you see the Catalinas covered, the Rincons.
Yep.
And apparently over there in the Kitt Peak area, because they're predicting flash floods in that area as well.
It is a very active summer thunderstorm day, and we really do need this kind of day because it's been very spotty, at least in the city of Tucson so far. Buckmaster in our 12th year on the radio, 34th year on television and radio in the Tucson market. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, the voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews, and we'll be doing a couple of them today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're going to be talking about immigration in the first half hour today, and I'd like to hear from our listeners to join us on the live line. The number is 520-790-2040. Reverend Dr. Robin Hoover is a social ethicist who has worked with migrating people along the southwest border for 33 years, a native of West Texas. Dr. Hoover has founded and led several nonprofits, including Humane Borders, which is still based here in Tucson, but Reverend Hoover left that organization in 2009. Reverend Hoover is the 2006 recipient of Mexico's National Human Rights Award that was bestowed upon Reverend Hoover by then President Felipe Calderon. Reverend Hoover was a longtime Tucson resident until this year when he packed up and moved to New Mexico, and he joins us on the live line from Albuquerque. Reverend Hoover, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. With you?
Yeah, you've had a very wet monsoon in New Mexico. That's nice. I think it's one of the wettest, at least in the Albuquerque area, on record. So your things must be greening up in the desert.
Wet and it's cool and mid 60s in the mornings. It's incredible.
Did Reverend Hoover's cell phone, I think, cut out on us? Is that? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes. Perhaps just don't move around when you're talking on the cell phone because it kind of cut in and out. All right. When is the last time we had some meaningful immigration reform in this country?
Well, on a grand scale, it was under Ronald Reagan when they did the legalization or amnesty program. That was the biggest piece we'd had. I will just boldly say either party's track record in my lifetime on this stuff. When I was born, it was Truman was trying to do a few things. Eisenhower deported a bunch of people. Nixon comes along and has his war on drugs that turned its attention eventually to Mexico. And Clinton passed the worst bills that we'd seen. And it's just on and on and on. Obama was the deporter in chief, and Trump has had the worst things to say about migrants and presidential history. So when it comes to immigration, our executive branch doesn't fare well.
You know, it seems so easy to say stop the invasion, stop the aliens, secure the border, let's build a wall once and for all. We're hearing all these political promises here in Arizona. Can someone realistically secure the border, one politician?
It's impossible. John McCain spent the better part of a day in some interviews trying to explain to people many years ago of how many brigades and divisions it would take to seal our border in a militaristic way. And at the time we were in Iraq, and he said you'd have to bring every troop that we have overseas home to do it. So that's not happening. The only way we can do this is through some changes in politics and our hearts.
We even have a candidate here in Arizona, as pointed out in today's New York Times, saying it's time to bomb parts of the border to destroy...
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, destroy the drug tunnels.
Wow.
I mean, anyway, what's your take on where we are this year along the border?
Well, we have a lot of pent-up activity. There's been the remaining Mexico kept a lot of people in limbo, et cetera, and there is some appearance that the border is a little bit more open, but in reality, these people that are being apprehended are being sent home. Some are being processed, and they're being sent home after the process. So it's really no huge change. It's just a larger volume of persons involved.
Where are most of the changes? Have there been any changes along the border in your area there in New Mexico or Texas?
Well, I spent 2 months in South Texas last year working with the U.S. continues a policy of trying to put pressure on Mexico to control the migration. They even tried to close down some of the shelters that were housing the asylum seekers in Mexico who were waiting. They were trying to disperse even that population, but that's backfired. Mexico says, no, we can talk and chew gum at the same time. We will take care of people that are trying to go through juridical proceedings, et cetera. And they've allowed and even supported some of the shelters recently. So, you know, Texas has tried to spend many, many millions, impressive amounts of money to use their Department of Public Safety personnel to check vehicles and to round up people on private property and turn them over to the Border Patrol, et cetera. They've caused more confusion and made it more difficult for the Border Patrol to do their job by doing that. It's just a mess.
Let's go to our live line. Paul has called us, 790-2040. Any of our listeners want to talk about immigration, now is the time. Go ahead, Paul. You're with Reverend Dr. Robin Hoover.
Yes, Reverend. I'm questioning why my folks up in New York and the Washington area are so upset now, because so many of the illegals are getting up into their neighborhoods and apparently really confusing, perhaps ruining their cities. What's going on, and how are they getting up there?
Dr. Hoover?
All over the United States for the last 25 years, and used to be 35 years ago, when people came here, they only came to a few areas: California, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, Florida, and Texas. Now, enforcement has sort of dispersed the migration, but the one thing that must be noted is that the total number of people living in the United States in an undocumented status has been relatively stable and has actually declined since 2000, for instance. So it's just more dispersed. I don't know about ruining other parts of the country across the board as a group. Migrants commit fewer crimes than do U.S. citizens, et cetera. So you have to take that on a case-by-case basis.
It's kind of a love-hate relationship here with the Mexican migrant. I mean, think about it. We love so many things Mexican in this country, but then when it comes to, yeah, food, beer, on and on it goes. But then we don't want, you know, some may not want them in their neighborhood. I don't know. Some of your thoughts on that.
You know, Mexico is a huge trade partner to Arizona. It's been suggested many times that the politics in Mexico City affect the in Arizona and other border states more than Washington, D.C. If you sit down here and put tariffs and bring in, start talking about the rapists and talk about building the wall and enhancing xenophobia, et cetera, from a lot of the political statements that get made, it has a very deleterious impact up and down on our politics and certainly on our trade and in our culture. So it's just not worthy of us. We need to find better political ways to deal with each other.
Our entire service economy, some restaurant chefs will tell you that the restaurant business as we know it in most American cities would collapse overnight without Mexican workers.
I'll add that in there, too. But Latin Americans really do staff so much of construction and hospitality, agriculture, across the board, in many of the very labor-intensive industries and places where it's a little bit more accessible to have a cash economy. So, yes, we couldn't. I grew up in West Texas, and you couldn't build a freeway or operate a livestock production or even some of the oil fields back in the day without migrant labor of some kind. But, there are ways to make this a above board and above the table and legal, but we just choose not to do it.
Maybe we can explore some of those ways when we come back with Reverend Dr. Robin Hoover on the live line with us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We'll take a break right here. 790-2040 is our live line number if you'd like to join in the conversation. Perhaps you've got the solution to the immigration issue in the United States. Love to hear from you. Be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're doing one of our telephone interviews on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With us on the live line from Albuquerque is the Reverend Dr. Robin Hoover, the founder of Humane Borders. Dr. Hoover, in May, the Border Patrol apprehended migrants nearly 240,000 migrants were apprehended on the U.S.-Mexico border. That's the highest number in May on record. And it's also true for April and March as well. Here in Arizona, there were more than 60,000 apprehensions in May, also higher than previous months in Arizona, but still not a record. What about deaths in the desert this year? Does that number continue to increase along the border?
I don't know the exact stats so far this year. June was down a little bit from what it had been in previous years, but it's still on a very nasty trend. But a lot of the deaths that are happening along the border are happening in South Texas. So it kind of depends on where you're penetrating the border.
And you know,
county in South Texas has had a lot of
that horrible incident with 53 migrants, the deaths of 53 migrants in San Antonio last month. They were packed in the back of a suffocating tractor trailer without air condition. It's the deadliest smuggling incident in this country to date. Unfortunately, there are more of these incidents, aren't there?
There appears to be, and that appears to be a growing way to transport people, and it's just utterly deadly. It shows the desperation of the people that are coming. They're willing to put their lives in the hands of very disreputable people. Didn't used to be that way. It is now.
And no crossings without paying a coyote connected to a cartel. Is that pretty much the story now?
Absolutely. It's the story. Years ago, maybe 30% of the people were paying for services to move them forward into the United States. And now it's like 99.5%. So very few people try to cross on their own.
That's a very deadly proposition, or can be, can't it? I know that one of your efforts has been to try to get the word out to migrants about the dangers of crossing the desert. And you've been criticized because you were criticized. Oh, why are you trying to help these people? Your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I'm a Christian. I think Galatians 3:28 says there is no Jew, no Greek, no slave, no free, etc. We're all one, so we need to figure out a better way to deal with it. And I am very upset with finding migrants that are dying for no reason, men, women, and children. There needs to be a much better way. So the deaths send no message. They're not virtuous in any way, and so we need to take death out of this situation and then work on the politics at the same time.
Are the cartels working together with, so they're working now with smuggling people as part of the drug business, or is the drug business maybe tapering off a little bit?
It was primarily drugs for 25 or more years, I don't know. And then it became lucrative to move into moving people. The penalties were less for moving people than they were for moving drugs with the drug war. And so they found ways to make a whole lot of money.
What are the fees?
Our enforcement patterns have made it absolutely necessary that you will have somebody to guide you and drive you and lead you across the desert, whatever it is. So they created that market and, in effect, have transferred billions of dollars into the hands of the cartels. I recently spoke to a group of migrants here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they this group crossed east of El Paso down near Isleta, and it cost them about $7,000 a pop just to get, wasn't their trip across Mexico, that was just getting into the United States about 20 miles in. That's pretty expensive.
Yeah, the New York Times says typically now it's the average is $10,000 for each transport. And typically, it could go up to $20,000 if they must be moved from, say, Africa, Eastern Europe, or even Asia. They can; those prices are just astronomical.
So, absolutely. One of the most expensive groups is bringing Chinese across.
Why is that?
Well, they stick out like a sore thumb. I mean, it's easy to profile somebody that's, as if you're in northern Mexico or other Chinese come in New York and Vancouver and other places. So it's just blatantly obvious that you've got somebody that's didn't grow up a block away from there.
So let's talk about what are the Dr. Reverend Hoover solutions. Talk to our listeners about a couple of things, perhaps things that might not involve I don't want to say simple fixes, but maybe not as complex as some others.
The general thrust is what needs to take place is I use Pew Hispanic Center's numbers, approximately 12 million people living in the United States undocumented. We need to do something similar to what we did in the early 90s with the legalization program, bring them in, find out who they are, what they're doing, where they're working, who are their friends, relatives, you know, the names of their cats and dogs. Just do the complete vetting. Give them an extended visa based upon doing when they plan to go home, et cetera. In exchange for that, they have to get your driver's license, get your medical insurance, do all these other things, keep your nose clean. And at the end of that visa, during that visa to naturalize, if that's what you want propose to do, at the end of that visa, you go home, et cetera. So there's a way of trading out those things. The idea that I've been most known for is for those that want to come here and work, and our economy wants these people to work, is to pre-screen people before they come, let them, and they have a visa, more like a high-tech worker currently does, and they can bring family if they want to, they can enjoy the city, they can rent apartments, they can buy cars and houses, wherever they want to do, and they work and they can travel back and forth. They have the visa in their hand, it's not in the hand of the employer. You put the visa in the hand of the employer and they'll abuse that person. We've just seen too many things. I grew up that way. I mean, that was a very abusive way of violating human rights. But when they come, they post a bond. And if you perform according to what you've agreed to, and you've agreed to it, then that bond is forfeited to law enforcement, and you become a fugitive. So we don't have to have all these checkpoints. We don't have to have as many Border Patrol agents between the ports of entry, et cetera. We don't tear up the environment. We don't do all these other things. So there's many negative things that can be eliminated by just regularizing is the international language. If we regularize the migration for work, then we can eliminate a whole lot of these problems.
We're going to need a lot more immigration to handle the work shortage in the United States. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, I agree with it. If we continue with enforcement trends the way we think we want to go, or the way we talk about it on a national political scale, we could end up like Japan, that has almost zero migration and a gentrifying, aging population. So it would not be good for the economy.
All right. Reverend Hoover, good getting in contact with you again. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it every time.
Reverend Robin Hoover on the live line with us. The live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Reverend Hoover, the founder of Humane Borders. He left that organization in 2009. The organization is still based here in Tucson, and we will be getting someone from their organization on the program within a few weeks, I hope. So we're going to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
CBS News Brief. Heavy rains have caused flash flooding and mudslides as storms pound parts of central Appalachia. In Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear says at least three people have died.
There are a number of people that are unaccounted for. I'm nearly certain this is the situation where we are going to lose some of them.
President Biden's praising senators for agreeing on a $739 billion spending bill that would raise corporate taxes, lower medical costs for American families, and help curb climate change.
This bill is far from perfect. It's a compromise. But it's often how progress is made, by compromises.
Mr. Biden also spent most of the morning on the phone with China's president. CBS's Tanya Rivero reports.
The pair spoke for more than 2 hours, discussing several issues ranging from Russia's war in Ukraine to the growing economic competition between the two countries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. It is a Thursday afternoon, and lots of places around Tucson getting quite a bit of rain today, which is very well needed. And I know all the plants are going, thank you, over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It is a great time now to... We are getting rain. It's a perfect time to make that transition from a very, very dry season. Now we're going to get some rain. So planting would be very much in order for your garden. Get some beautiful color in the garden. 13-acre site at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They also have a sister business on site with some beautiful Talavera pottery, merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. That's called Zocalo Village. So here are your websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things, open daily. They've been in business here in Tucson for over 50 years. Almost, well, about the same amount of time I've been in business in the communication business. 34 years of it right here in Tucson. Monica Dangler is with us. Monica is the director of the Pima Animal Control Center. Hey, Monica.
Hello, Bill.
Great to see you. We talked with you right before the 4th of July. You were very worried, understandably. Animals, especially dogs, are just not comfortable with the fireworks and the 4th of July. And I think, you know, there are a lot of companion animal owners who worry about the 4th every year. How did it turn out?
Yeah, so it was busy. We expected it to be very busy. It wasn't quite as busy. Not as many people brought in pets as we expected, which was great because we were going into the 4th of July way over capacity. That being said, the 4th of July tipped us over capacity. We had every single available kennel in the shelter full. We had our multi-purpose room with about 20 dogs in it. So we were at the point of having to make some difficult decisions. But luckily, our community, as always, has shown that they value life-saving. They stepped up. They came in. That week, we had lots of dogs being reclaimed by their owners, which was great. We had lots of adoptions, a lot of animals going out to foster. So we were able to get down to about 400, and I think the lowest we were at was about 420 dogs in the shelter, which is pretty great considering we started at 532.
Yes.
So we got those extra dogs cleared out of the places that they shouldn't be, which was great.
What's your what are you comfortable with as far as, I mean, it'd be wonderful if every dog was adopted, but what's a comfortable place for you with dogs?
A comfortable place where everybody's not stressed out and, you know, everything's working well is about 350 to 380 dogs. So we currently have about 450 dogs. So we're still over capacity. I was just looking at our numbers today. We have about 40 more dogs in the shelter than we did last year at the exact same time.
Huh.
So, you know, and different things, it's kind of hard to put a number on it because it depends on how big the dogs are. You know, small dogs, you have more of them, puppies. But it means a lot of our large dogs need to be able to live together in a kennel.
It's so much, if you can get those numbers down, it really helps as the person that comes in to adopt a dog. It's not so overwhelming. I mean, you go in there and there's 400 plus dogs. And unfortunately, some dogs get passed over. And actually, I shared with my 5,000 Facebook friends a dog named Charlie. This dog has been, he's one of the old timers there. I mean, he's a 4-year-old dog, and one of his 4 years has been totally at the Pima Animal Care Center.
Yeah.
I would love for my friends to take a look at the picture of Charlie. He will win your heart, as he has done for you, Monica. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get Charlie a home today?
Oh, it would be amazing. He's one of my favorite dogs. I talk to him every day. I give him treats. He's a really nice dog.
And he's well behaved.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh. He's a real nice dog. And it's just, there's 500 animals. There's been 500 dogs in the shelter for a pretty significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. It's easy to overlook some of the really great dogs just because there's so many of them right now.
Do you have a couple of other old timers?
Oh, yeah, there's several.
When I'm talking old time, a year, which seems just a long, long time mm-hmm. to be there.
Yeah, we've got several that are long timers. One of my other favorite, I don't think she's been there quite a year, but it's been a little over 6 months, is Jane. She's a real nice dog. And then there's another one named Venus. She's been there since the first of the year, and she's just real nice. She's fun and friendly, and you bring her out and she's great, but she's just been overlooked because there's just so many dogs.
So Buckmaster mm-hmm. Show listeners, it's Venus, Jane, and Charlie. Charlie would be at the top of my list just because, I don't know, what a beautiful face. He just seems like such a happy animal. But hopefully we can get Charlie a home. What about the others? How do we clear the shelter?
Yeah, so starting August 1st, so next Monday, mm-hmm. for the whole month of August, we'll be participating in the Clear the Shelter event. It's a national event for shelters across the country. And this is the perfect time. August is our busiest intake month and typically our slowest adoption month because everybody's going back to school and yeah. going back to work and going on vacation, doing all the things. So this is the great time for us to really move those animals out of the shelter to get us back to that comfortable number of around 350 dogs in the shelter. We'll be doing several things to incentivize people, free adoptions for all pets in the shelter. We'll also have adoption incentives in addition. Each week we'll have a different one. They can look at our Facebook page to see what adoption incentive is going to happen that week.
Do you have any cats?
Oh, we've got lots of cats. We have about 130 cats right now. Kittens are typically regularly coming into the shelter. So if you're looking for a kitten, we've always got about 10 of those guys available each day. But we've got some really nice cats too, for sure.
There is a huge shortage of qualified vets. Veterinary medicine is so important to an animal owner, obviously. Hopefully with our veterinary school coming online, that will change.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping too. You know, we've got one of the lowest number of vets per 1,000 people mm-hmm. In the country. So it makes it difficult to find that, to just find a veterinarian, never mind, affordable veterinary care as well. So I'm really excited about that first class graduating. I think it's next summer. I know it'll be beneficial to the shelters here in the city, and I'm expecting there'll be other practices opening as well.
Can you see when we have inflation that's like at a 40 or even 50 year high, how that impacts animal well-being?
Absolutely. Everything's increasing, and it's not just, you know, your milk and bread and things like that. It's dog food, it's cat food. We're seeing certain grocery stores not carrying much of any pet food. And sometimes that's the only place in a community that people can get the pet food. There's resource deserts across the county where there's not pet stores. There's not veterinarians. So the only place to get those items are the grocery stores, maybe a dollar store type thing. And if they're not carrying that because it's too expensive, it's hard for people to get those items for their pets.
Yeah, I know. Personally, we've had to, with our particular cat being very picky and very spoiled, Prissy the Glam Cat, we call her. we had to actually order online because the particular food that Prissy wants is just not been available. I don't know what's going on with the people making pet food.
Yep, we've seen a shortage in all the food, especially cat food, though. I have the same issue with my cat. And I've seen the prices in some cases double for certain flavors because I've also got a very particular cat as well.
Monica Dangler, tell us about your hours. Tell us about how people can get Charlie. Go ahead.
Yeah, we are open 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, weekends 10 to 5. If you're interested in Charlie or any of our available pets, the best thing to do is just to come on down to the shelter. Mm-hmm. We're really busy with the people right in front of us. So just come on down and we'll set you up with an adoption counselor to answer all the questions. And if Charlie or the pet you're looking at isn't the right fit, we can match you with somebody that is. So we're really excited to do that. Monday through Friday is the best time to come. Less lines as opposed to the weekends are really busy, but we're happy to have you come down anytime.
And you are located where?
We are located at 4000 North Silverbell Road, just north of Grant on Silverbell.
And it's a great facility. It's still relatively new. Mm-hmm. I think I was there when the grand opening happened. Seems like yesterday, but it's probably been about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's been about 5 years since.
And by the way, you are hiring, aren't you?
Always, yes. We've got some great positions open. You can find those at pima.gov and then just put in the search bar employment opportunities. But we've got quite a few positions open, anything from our animal care technicians, which are our adoption counselors or our vet techs, up to some different manager and coordinator positions.
Great positions available. Great place to work. Thank you, Monica Dangler.
No, thank you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Back after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Great time of year to take a trip over to one of our great sponsors in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. What to do and where to stay, and it will be cooler over in Silver City because of their elevation. We like to say at least 10 degrees cooler, sometimes can be a lot more. Well, does a bout with COVID speed up the aging process even after the COVID symptoms leave? Yes, according to the Yale School of Medicine, Cornell School of Medicine, and Mount Sinai, who published the research in the peer-reviewed Frontiers in Genetics journal. One of the study's authors is with us on the live line, Dr. Florence Comite, who has been on or was on the faculty at Yale School of Medicine for 25 years. Dr. Comite, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Doing real well. Tell me a little bit about this study.
So the study actually took samples from people before and after they had COVID. And so it was a pure study. It was not a huge study, so it was what we think of as a pilot. But the data was fascinating because we looked at changes, epigenetic changes, which are those switches in cells, not the stable DNA that we're born with. And we saw that they changed before and after COVID.
In what way? What ways would they change? I mean, how do these things kind of speed up the aging process? What are some of the markers, Dr. Comite?
Oh, that's a great question. So first of all, the major trend was that chronological age had an impact on the change. So if you were under 50, you actually got younger by somewhat over 2 years, meaning if your chronological age was 40, you might end up 38. And I'll explain why in a second. But in converse to that, if you are over 50, let's say you're 60, then your age might be 65. So the average went in both directions, and that was fascinating. We believe, and if I'm just going to make it a global statement, that it's the immune system at work. There's a response we have in the immune system, and those are the factors that get measured. So we look at the cells that would fight infection. And we use them when we're fighting an infection. And the theory might be that when you're younger, you have the capacity, for a lot of different reasons, which I can talk about, to recover and do even better because you've revved up your system. You're now ready to take on all comers, right? But as you age, there's comorbidities under the surface. You might have diabetes you don't even know, or heart disease brewing, any number of conditions that may not even be diagnosed. And while you might have fought your way through COVID, your immune system could have taken a big hit, and it got a little abused, and therefore you got older. And so some of the markers had to do with the immune system, and some of the markers had to do with the DNA itself.
How about a milder case? We keep hearing that some people experience what they call or what are referred to as mild COVID symptoms. Did that make any difference?
We didn't really distinguish between the degree of illness. So I do believe, though, in my monitoring so many people since 2020. In fact, I got COVID. I was the first one here. I came back from a quick trip to San Francisco with COVID. And so I know how it personally feels. But we didn't really break them down that way because the study was a little small. We could always do that because we collect a lot of data about the patients we see here at the center, and other people who contributed data would also be able to look at it.
Did that concern you that now that you have had COVID, that perhaps your own aging process, doctor, has been now revved up a little bit, and how do we mitigate this?
That's a great question. So, but in my case, because we do so much, the field that I've developed over the last 20 years, starting at Yale, is precision medicine. And we're always looking at data because it's the data under the surface that tells us more about you in a very precise way. For example, you might wonder why an athlete drops dead of a heart attack, even though they may be in a marathon or a triathlete, because we don't know what we don't know unless we measure it. So in my case, my age ultimately got younger, but I also did some other interventions. For example, plasmapheresis, where I don't know if you've heard about exchanging your blood, young blood for old blood. And I did that internally. A lot of people actually are doing it where they literally get blood from younger people. And in that case, my age and years actually went down 15 years. That was within the same year I had COVID. I know.
Whoa.
But then I stopped. But then let me tell you how variable it is and how sensitive. I stopped sleeping for a while because I'm creating an app to be able to help everybody, you know, in the world, hopefully, figure out what their health truly is and what their biological age truly is. And I stopped sleeping enough. I was sleeping 4 hours maybe a night for several months. And so, and I kept monitoring myself. And after another 3 months, my age shot up older than my real age, which shall go
unmentioned. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
So what we do think that what's happening with COVID is that there's significant increases in what we call CD4 and T cells. These are killer T cells that take on invaders, and also we need internally if things go wrong in our body. And so in those over 50, there was a significant decrease in those cells, CD4 and T. But in those under 50, there was an increase. And so it's almost as if the immune system decided, well, we revved up and we're going to make sure that you're in great shape to not get sicker. And I do think long COVID, to your question earlier, is probably a percent of folks who are sick under the surface, don't really know it, and then COVID exacerbated everything that went on besides COVID itself.
That makes sense. Dr. Florence Comite is with us. She's really well known in the medical field based, I think you're in New York City, right?
I am, but we also have centers in Palo Alto and Miami Beach.
And you have been a leader in what's called precision medicine, which is basically like a personalized medicine. Give us a few kind of tips of simple things, Dr. Comite, that folks can do to take control of their own health care.
Wow, I love that question. I almost feel like I gave it to you, but thank you.
You didn't.
So that's what I've been doing for years. And what we have seen is that people do get younger biologically. And what people can do are very simple steps. First, find out what runs in your family. I believe family history actually, until very recently, trumps genetics because we don't know enough about genetics and a lot of it is misleading. Whereas your family history is the emergence of genes. So finding out if there's diabetes or Parkinson's or heart disease are critically important because then you could put steps in place to stop getting there and stay healthy until over 100. And believe me, it's possible. The other thing is ask your doctor if you have risk in your family, what kind of tests would show that, for example, you're a pre-diabetic. And one of the tests I find that are almost never done until you are a diabetic is to look at your fasting insulin. A fasting insulin, which should be very low after an overnight fast, if it's elevated, you're going to be a diabetic in the future. And that is not a good thing. We all know people are diabetics. It's fairly ubiquitous. We even see those changes in 20-something. But certainly by the time you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, things are evident and you can literally measure it. But somehow in this healthcare system, we wait until people are sick and then we jump all over them.
All right.
And diabetes is a good example because in folks who got COVID and were diabetic, they were 4 times as likely to need a respirator and to go to a hospital.
All right, Dr. Comite. I'm going to have to wrap it up right there. Just a few seconds left, but tell us where we can find out more about you, please.
Oh, sure. You can go to KometeMD.com, and on Instagram and Facebook, it's at Comite Center. Also, Grok Health Online is our digital startup that will be available to everyone, hopefully in the next year, at Grok Health, GROQ Health.com on all platforms. And join our wait list.
Thank you very much.